This is my fifth talk in the series titled Experiential Expressions, in which I will share with you my views on architecture. To my lifelong experience and diverse knowledge acquired at first hand, I have found to my utter dismay that discourses on a staggering variety of subjects and disciplines worldwide are more in the nature of transference of bones from one grave to the other than those bearing the pulsating authenticity of personal reflection, testing, and evaluation. As such, they end up as being a package of fascinating words that have little depth and no relevance to the subject of debate or discussion in terms of its relevance to the exigencies of workaday existence. In this light, I have chosen to talk about architecture, telling you what it takes to understand it at first hand and appreciate it intelligently. Having interest in 55 disciplines, I strongly feel that every field of human endeavor has its own special content of discourse on which is built up its jargon. Jargon is the specialized vocabulary of a particular trade, profession, group, or activity. Therefore, unless the key terms used in the narration, exposition, and discussion are lucidly explained and clearly defined, the understanding and appreciation of any discipline would be a distant dream, because the words used are at best like paper flowers bereft of the whim and vigor of natural flowers. Words assume their stature of powerful tools of communication among human beings when they are infused with the throbbing vitality of actual experience and impassioned expression. The topic is Understanding and Appreciating Architecture, Part 1. Architecture fulfills one of the three basic human needs, shelter. The other two are food and clothing. Shelter has preceded architecture by many centuries as the art and science of making the objective outer world of matter to meet the human requirements of living, working, recreation, and circulation, besides expressing exalted aspirations and aesthetic notions of the natural and the built environments. In other words, man set foot on the road to civilization when he stepped out of the cave to make his own shelter with his own hands. That is reason enough to say architecture is the matrix of civilization. Many definitions of architecture have been given by master architects of the world, including Gioponti, an Italian architect who wrote a whole book explaining what he meant by architecture. Having studied all these, I have come to the conclusion that it is better that architecture speaks for itself. So I have written a 4-line Urdu verse, which has its English translation also in poetry. Here it is. Khalwat ki fizaon mein karun jalwatein paida, jo khaak mein pinha hain wo hoon suratein paida. Utroon mein lahu ban ke rage sang mein jis dam, hoon taaj o ajanta si haseen murtein paida. In desolate emptinesses I am creating habitations. Forms that lie hidden in dust become manifestations. When I course like blood through the veins of stone, Taj and Ajanta emerge as beautiful configurations. The inviolable importance of architecture as the mother of all arts becomes crystal clear when we know that it was Lord Vishwakarma who created the universe, although the three principal gods of Hindu mythology, Brahma, Vishnu, and Mahesh, had the powers of creation, protection, and dissolution, respectively. and Lord Vishwakarma as the celestial architect employed only two elements, space and time, and the three stated primary functions of Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesh are going on ever since the universe came into existence, endlessly, in self-renewing cyclical order. Elements of creativity are space, structure and form, which function in tandem with each other in the overwhelming unity and diversity of whatever humans create. In building design, space pertains to architecture, structure to engineering, and form to aesthetics. Space in architecture is enclosed vacuity, with structure intervening between it and the enclosing envelope called form. It is akin to the human body, in which skeleton is a structure that creates space for accommodating vital physiological functions and intervenes between form, that is flesh and skin, and the space. Space is akin to soul, structure to mind, and form to body. Skeleton is the structure of the human body. Just as the column and beam structure is the skeleton of the building, that is the body of architecture. Aesthetic appreciation and artistic creation are two complementary activities of the same human mind. Man, having been created by God in his own image, is essentially an artist who started his forays into creativity by wondering at the beauty and bounty of nature, which is God's manifest power. Kudrat is the Arabic word that Guru Nanak has used for it in his Gurbani, or the narration of his revelation. The word man is not a gender. It represents a human person and thus includes both the sexes. The beginning of his journey in the realm of artistic creation lay in the exercise of man's native ability, that is, God-gifted, not culturally acquired, of aesthetic appreciation. Aesthetic appreciation takes place by means of one or more of the five senses: seeing, hearing, touching, smelling, and tasting. To delve deep into the stated problem, we will have to go back to the beginning, the elements, the principles, and the objectives of human creativity. Elements are the simplest parts of which anything consists, or into which it may be analyzed irreducibly. Space, structure, and form are the three elements of which architecture is made. Space is the great void, uninhabited emptiness, from which all that exists physically must be shaped. A basic aim of architecture is the creation of shelter, which is composed of structure and form, just as the human body is composed of the bony skeleton and the fleshy muscles and skinny surface, the finished form. These three elements are there in all forms of art: literary, visual, performing. Dance, drama, music are performing arts. They are spatial, temporal, that is, they exist both in space and time. Principles are fundamental, unchanging truths, the ultimate source or cause of origin of something. Together, they constitute a comprehensive law or doctrine from which others are derived, or on which others are founded. Principles of creativity are balance, harmony, proportion, scale, rhythm, and unity. Balance is visual, as in painting, sculpture, and architecture, or audio, as you may find in poetry and music. It is equilibrium, visual equilibrium, concerning architecture. Equilibrium would mean a state in which opposing forces or tendencies neutralize each other. Harmony results from combination or adaptation of parts, elements, or related things so as to form a consistent and orderly whole. The German philosopher and mathematician Leibniz uses the term pre-established harmony, which is a harmony between mind and matter established before their creation, whereby their actions correspond even though no communication exists between them. Harmony is fundamental to all forms of creativity as it produces a unity of effect or an organic whole which gives aesthetic pleasure. With simple tools and mathematics, he created a monument that stands to this day. His greatest contribution to engineering was his discovery of the art of building with shaped stones. Those who followed him carried engineering to remarkable heights using skill and imagination. The Italian architect Vitruvius wrote a book called The Architectura that was published in the 1st century CE in Rome. It has survived to tell us the kind of engineering education in ancient times. Proportion and scale are interrelated as both deal with the problems of size and their relationships with one another. Proportion is the relation of one part or portion to another or to the whole or of one thing to another with regard to magnitude, quantity or degree. An artifact is said to be well proportioned when the comparative relation or ratio among its parts as to the whole produces a pleasant visual effect.